Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatath Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakanvitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we can all chant Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. And that is very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. It's very pleasing to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada. Once when Srila Prabhupada was asked, what pleases you the most? He said, you chant Hare Krishna. He said, that you are already doing. You all might have noticed early this morning before Mangal Aarti, it was very, very dark, wasn't it? Outside or anywhere. Until the little bit of light came when the lamps were lit in the temple room. Otherwise, very, very dark. And the Amavasya was just, what, two or three days ago. So it's very dark, and anyway the moon was set, and just a few stars shining, otherwise the sky was covered with clouds. I thought it was very appropriate for Srila Prabhupada's Tirubhav Mahotsav that the moon has set, and the clouds of Kali Yuga are rolling in, but still there are some stars in the sky giving some light. Otherwise the whole situation is very dark. That's symbolic of what we all felt when Srila Prabhupada passed away from this world. Srila Prabhupada often used to quote from Chanakya, Ekas Chandrastamohanti Kimnatara Sahasrashah. One moon can or does dissipate the darkness, not thousands and thousands of stars. So we all very much had that feeling when Srila Prabhupada passed away. The moon has set. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandau Sahoditau Gaurodaye Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamonudo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like the sun and the moon who have simultaneously arisen on the horizon of Gaura to wonderfully dissipate the darkness in the hearts of all. So Srila Prabhupada was like the sun and the moon, and he set. Yes, he set, but not fully. The moon sets and then rises. This may be considered some overly elaborate glorification, but actually it's not. The scholars of religion, they didn't yet note. It should be, objectively speaking, a glaring fact that Srila Prabhupada brought knowledge of God to the Western world to an unprecedented extent. The idea of God was there, but there's very little known actually about God in the Western world. Devotees, when they were first distributing Krishna book in the West, they had this epiphany or this realization that this is something, we're bringing Srila Prabhupada's gift, we're bringing God knowledge, not just that of his greatness, but of his pastimes, which they don't even have any idea there are pastimes of God. So Srila Prabhupada, he was the personality who brought God actually for the first time to the Western world, and outs, I mean, accepted that there have been many saintly persons in the history of the Western world, but not recently. Of course, you may say Mother Teresa, but she didn't bring her life. She's not remembered for bringing God. She's remembered for her charitable work for helping suffering people, which in Christian theology is considered to be service to God, to put bandages on lepers and things like that. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave an understanding of God which goes so far above this that even the greatest saint of the modern world, considered by people in general, Mother Teresa, her work, the kind of things she does, is so insignificant in relation to directly understanding and serving God that it's practically this welfare work, it's practically considered a distraction. It can be done by devotees also, and it's not that such things should stop, but if the conception of serving God by putting bandages on lepers and so on is so far away from the actual understanding that Srila Prabhupada gave. And because people lack such an understanding, and then they can only, in their ignorance, consider welfare work for the bodies of human beings to be the highest level of saintliness. But scholars of religion, they didn't even notice it yet. It's superlatively, I'm saying, the sun and the moon compared to the stars. There may be a few stars, not many. Mother Teresa, maybe we could say. That's also disputable. And even people who are seriously interested in God, there are so many people, Muslims, Christians, they talk of Allah and God. But if you really are serious and sincere about God, and see these books, what is your objection? If you're actually sincere to know God, then don't think that he's packed up into your little box called Islam or Christianity, and no one can get, he only belongs in that box. You've captured him in a box. He reveals himself to different persons in different times and places and circumstances, and see the revelation that comes from the Vedic culture. It's objectively speaking, the knowledge of God that Srila Prabhupada gave is not, I'm saying it's objective. This is not some sectarianism or fanaticism or dogmatism. What Srila Prabhupada gave is knowledge of God far, far greater than was even imagined in the Western world. For that matter, it's far, far greater than that even imagined by most people in India today, especially, where people are so materialistic. Of course, being materialistic is not something that was absent in India at any time in its history. It's not that everyone was religiously and spiritually inclined all the time. But at the present time, Sai Baba worship, it's really gone down the drain, the religious culture. Of course, we can have a sewage plant, and that motive or that feeling to worship God, just take all the sewage out and put in some purifiers, and then we can get it back on track. But even Srila Prabhupada, he gave the Gauriya gift, which was very secret, even for the great theists of this sacred land, Bharatavarsha. The great theists, I refer especially to Sri Ramanujacharya Pad and Sri Madhvacharya. These are the great theists who did great service in refuting the wrong ideas of Shankara and establishing the supremacy, Hari Sarvottama, of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not just establishing it philosophically. Generally people, if anyone at all talks about Madhva among the scholars, they generally talk about it as one of the great philosophers of India. But he was philosophy for Ramanuja and Madhva. Of course it's there, but it's not just philosophy. They're great devotees. They love the Supreme Lord, Narayana, Hari. And this is, they didn't come just to write some, so scholars can busy their minds trying to understand all the different terms they're talking about and compare them and this. They came to give Bhagavat Prem, but that which Srila Prabhupada gave to people who are far away from this culture of, and even where we talk badly of the impersonalists, but at least they've come to the level of Brahma Jignasa, inquiring into the Absolute Truth. But in the Western world, the highest platform they can come to in saintliness is putting bandages on lepers. Of course, there have been those in the past who have been, what we could say, generally spiritually inclined, but they also didn't have this knowledge. Srila Prabhupada gave it for the first time. And scholars haven't noticed. They should notice. We've noticed, by Prabhupada's grace, we've been awakened to some appreciation of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's greatness. Today we are celebrating the Tirubhav Mahotsav, the festival of the celebration of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance from this world, otherwise called Viraha Mahotsav, festival of celebration. Now, that doesn't seem like it should be anything to celebrate. What is there to celebrate? We can celebrate when a demon leaves this world, just like one of the great festivals of India's Rama Vijaya Mahotsav, the day when Rama killed Ravana. So we're celebrating Ravana got killed. Why do we celebrate when Srila Prabhupada passed away from this world? Because we understand that this is not a death ceremony. It's not that we celebrate solemnly the day of the death of Mahatma Gandhi, something like that. It's not like that. We're not talking about a dead person here. Means that he has left our mortal vision. And it's another way of putting it is his vijay. That term is used generally as victory, but it's also used for when a great saintly devotee leaves this world, and when that means they've gone to the spiritual world. So it's just like Ram Vijaya Mahotsav, he conquered over Ravana. So Srila Prabhupada, having conquered over the forces of darkness, he left this world and went on to perform his service elsewhere. And we can still live with him. We should live with him. There should be a great festival on this day. Forget all this Gandhi death and all that. Well, what's the point, actually? What's the point? When you have Prabhupada, and then why celebrate Gandhi, Ambedkar, and all these people? Why? It's out of ignorance only. People won't like if we say this, but again, if we examine objectively, then we can understand. But people cannot actually understand objectively, because they think they're being objective, but they don't have spiritual knowledge, and they can't get spiritual knowledge because their consciousness is covered by the lower modes of nature. So yesterday I was talking about science. Why can't the scientists understand the very very simple fact that Srila Prabhupada gave the example so many times, that the body and the life of the body are separate, and you can understand the hino smnyata dehe komarang yovanang jara tata dehantara praptihi. You can understand. It's very easy to understand. The body changes from boyhood to youth to old age. The person stays the same, therefore the person is different from the body. And what is that person? Avinashi tu tadviti yena sarvamidang tata. The person is the consciousness which pervades the whole body, but then the consciousness is gone, and that's called tata dehantara prapti, because the body is vinashi, it is perishable, it will perish. But the Atma is imperishable. Therefore it goes to another, changes to another body. It's a simple thing to understand, but people cannot understand because they're covered by the lower modes of nature. Otherwise, objectively speaking, there should be a great festival on this day, at least in Vrindavan, not this year, because of the coronavirus restriction. Otherwise, in Vrindavan, during the month of Kartik, and especially on this day, you'll get gathering of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. They'll come, they'll all come together, whatever the differences may be, which are still going on, different outlooks, different levels they're practicing on, but they come together to celebrate the passing of Srila Prabhupada. And it's kind of oxymoronic talking about celebrating the passing of Srila Prabhupada. Viraha Mahotsav, the festival of celebration. But in Krishna consciousness, the grief is also bliss. So it's a festival. We celebrate that. And it also should inspire us to understand that Srila Prabhupada has passed. By passing on, he also passed the baton, which means he passed on the responsibility to us to continue his mission. So that's all. It's also a reminder of that. That Srila Prabhupada, he sees us. We're not talking about a dead person. He's seeing us now. And we have to take the orders that he gave and make those orders our life and soul. So it's completely different from celebrating the passing of a dead person. Just like Gandhi, you say, the people celebrate, but they have no intention of following his ideas. It's hypocritical. So also, our worship of Srila Prabhupada on this day, it has to be bolstered or made realistic, reified, by our commitment to serve his instructions. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada disappears. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him, but we won't see him. We won't be connected with him unless we follow his instructions. So it's not that it's just we come together and we recite some memories of Srila Prabhupada. Usually on this day in Vrindavan, the disciples of Prabhupada will recite their memories. Usually, most of them, like myself, have very few memories. So we hear more or less the same thing year after year, which is all right. But it's not the memories per se which should keep us going, but living with Srila Prabhupada now by living in service to his mission. Srila Prabhupada is not dead. He came to give us life. Of course, it's not in exactly the same way that the Ritvikvadis say, that Prabhupada still... There is a difference between his... And there are terms for that also. Prakat, aprakat. Manifest to us and not manifest. And Srila Prabhupada used these terms. These terms are generally used in relationship to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, on one of his lectures he gave on the disappearance day of his own Guru Maharaj, used these terms. So there is a difference between prakat and aprakat, manifest and unmanifest. So the Ritvik idea that you take initiation from Srila Prabhupada and even after he's disappeared is a wrong understanding of the fact that Srila Prabhupada is alive. It's not that he's dead. But we should qualify that statement by saying he's alive, but he's not manifest to us, aprakat, not manifest to us in the way that he was previously. There is clearly a difference between when he was present and not present in the manner in which we deal with him, which even a baby should be able to. Well, babies don't understand death, but any grown person should be able to understand. So Srila Prabhupada came to give life. He would often quote from his own Guru Maharaj, Pran ache tar shehitu pracha. Those who have life, because they have life, they can preach. Srila Prabhupada's life. What is Srila Prabhupada's life? We say Srila Prabhupada is alive. What is his life? Well, we can go through the details of his biography. But what do we say? His life is Krishna. Krishna is the life of everyone. Jivanam sarva bhuteshu. Krishna is the life of everyone, but persons who live in forgetfulness of Krishna, they're like figures on a cinema screen or something like this. That it's not, they're not really alive. They're just a semblance of life. But Srila Prabhupada, he lived in Krishna. And specifically, Srila Prabhupada would often, not very often, but sometimes he would quote, we can understand what is Srila Prabhupada's life from the purport he gave to the Gita verse, Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. That I'll just make a note of that. Srila Prabhupada was very much struck when reading through the commentary on Bhagavad Gita of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. When Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse that the instructions of the spiritual master are the life of the disciple, that Even if the whole material world is destroyed, it doesn't matter to me. I have to serve my spiritual master. Whether I attain Krishna or not doesn't matter to me. I have to serve my spiritual master. Such a mood of dedication, Srila Prabhupada. He made that his life. He expressed that in his poems. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote several poems in which he expressed what is a poem. The Vaishnava Acharyas, that's one facet of Srila Prabhupada which is not much discussed or not so much appreciated, is that Srila Prabhupada had great love for the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. So many songs he recorded, he quoted from them, he had great love for that, because that is we find in the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas all the essence of the teachings with the feeling, which is the ultimate goal of studying. So we study bhakti shastra to get some degree or something, but it's not getting the degree. The real bhakti shastra degree is when kobe nabadipe shuradhuni tarte harata ha krishna bale dachya gaya baraibo lute nana lata tarutale. When we get the feeling, now I have to run to Navadvip and roll on the ground and call and beg food, take food from the swapad, the chandalas, and drink the water of the Sarasvati. That's your real bhakti shastra degree. If we have that feeling for Krishna, so these is expressed in mostly in their songs. Just I'm quoting here from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from his siddhi lalasa, from his desire for perfection. And we'll find so many beautiful prose writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but it really gets condensed and thick and juicy with rasa, dripping with rasa. In the songs, the Vaishnava Acharyas, they express their inner feelings, what is actually their life. We're talking about Srila Prabhupada, he gave us life. What is his life? What are his inner feelings? We can understand from his poems. Just yesterday, the day before, someone wrote me, a devotee wrote me about for the BBT's upcoming edition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is of course written by Srila Rupa Goswami on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that devotee is thinking of including a bio, put the word bio, which is a recent English usage, like so many recent English usages in the age of the WhatsApp and all this. It's a shortened for biodata, which means information about your life, born on such and such a date, height, weight, blah, 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 educational qualifications and all this. Other CV, I think it's called more commonly in India, curriculum vitae, something like that. So you put bio, which I guess should have been short, the idea of biography. And that's good. That really helps us. If we're going to read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you often get this when you read a book or you hear a song and you say, well, who wrote that? I want to know more about them, because you get so impressed by the author. You want to know more about them. So you want to know more about, you read Bhakti Rasamrita, who wrote this? I want to know more. Who is that person? What did they do? How did they live? What were their experiences? You want to know more about it. And we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita also some information. We can call it information. Bhakti Ratnakara, we have various books, information about Rupa Goswami, but it's not just by hearing about his life, that he born such and such a date, worked as a government officer, then retired early, took early retirement. We won't understand like that. It's indicative because early retirement, because he, I'm not going to do this all my life. I've got better things to do. I'm going to go and live with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to get us. I'm going to go and live with him. He called, you come and live. I'm going to go. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go to Vrindavan. I'm going this way, you go that way. He got, you can come and see me later. He became one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. He left everything to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you serve like this. You serve in, I'm going to Puri, you serve in Vrindavan. So his life, what he did, it gives some indication of what his life is meant for. But it doesn't tell us what his life is meant for exactly. We find in the Shargo Shami Ashtakam, Tyaktva Turnama Shesha Mandalapati Shrining Sada Tuchavat, Budva Dina Ganesha Kokarunaya Kopina Kantashrito. Okay, there's summarized life. He gave up among the other, like the other six Goswamis, most of them. They gave up a life of great opulence and very high position in society. They gave it all up, considering it insignificant. So I was saying, wow, what did the, if that's insignificant, all that wealth and power, I mean, what else is there? Is there something greater? What could they have possibly done? Well, then they lived in Vrindavan under a different tree every night. It's not exactly said here. And they had they wore a kopin and they had a kanta, the patchwork quilt. And it's not made. Kopin, kanta, karanga, water pot. These are the three kas needed for enunciants. So, okay, all right, he did that, but why? Why did he do that? What, was he crazy or what? What's it all for? What is the highest perfection of life to wear a kopin and have a patchwork quilt? That was indicative of Gopi Bhava Risamritabda Lahari Kalola Magno Muhuhu. Always swimming and diving and surfacing in the waves of the ecstasy that the gopis felt in their service to Krishna. So if you really want to know what Rupa Goswami is all about, what are his inner feelings, then we can, his songs, his poetry. We have poetry like Karpanya, Panjika, then Utkalika Valerie, and describing how his heart's desire, even though he feels himself to be totally unqualified, but he's begging Radha and Krishna for the opportunity to personally serve them in a very intimate way. So this is the heart of Rupa Goswami. You can understand from his songs, from his poems. Srila Prabhupada, he also wrote poems, but they're all about, just like Rupa Goswami, what is his inner heart? What is his aspiration? To serve Radha and Krishna in a very intimate way. Srila Prabhupada's poems, they're all about preaching. And serving his guru. So we can understand what Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada came to give us life. We're talking about his disappearance. Disappearance means the end of life. But Srila Prabhupada, he's on the eternal platform. When Mahatma Gandhi died, then all his ideas of, well, anyway, Swaraj was, or whatever ideas he had, he went on to another body. And then, we don't know exactly, but his plans were plans for a temporary world, and they lasted with him as long as his body lasted. But Srila Prabhupada is an eternal person, and he has, Rupa Goswami, eternal, his aspirations are eternal, because he eternally serves Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. It's not something that finishes when the body finishes. It's his eternal service to Radha and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada expressed in his poems his aspiration to preach Krishna consciousness and serve his spiritual master, to please his spiritual master. Now, he did also, in the only time in his writings that I can think of, in which he expressed his aspiration for service in Vrindavan, comes at the end, or toward the end of this poem, in which Srila Prabhupada is praying to Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Pada Padme Prarthana. And toward the end of that poem, he expresses how Srila Prabhupada, he has this desire to, with Krishna, Tomar milone bhai abar she shukupai. Again, I'm here now, I have to do this service of, I've been ordered by my guru to preach this Krishna consciousness all over the world. But again, I want to have that opportunity to enjoy that happiness. What is that happiness, he's saying? He's talking to Krishna. Krishna knows very well. Go charane ghure dinabhor. I'll have the opportunity again to herd the cows going round and round in the forests all day. Koto bone chuta chuti, bone kai luta puti. How all the different forests, how going here and there, wandering, frolicking, because in Vrindavan, Nartyam Gamanam, you don't just walk. Your walking is with a spring, like you see children. They often, they have to walk somewhere, and then they almost like dancing, frolicking. And when they get older, then life kicks in, and then they don't frolic anymore. But koto bone chuta chuti, bone kai luta puti, shedin kobe hobe more. That's his inner heart's aspiration. Otherwise, his poems are all about preaching and serving the mission of his guru. So we can understand that this is Srila Prabhupada's real life. He lives forever by his instructions, and the follower lives with him. So in our life, now we got life. Srila Prabhupada came to give us life. He is not dead. He came to give us life. He came to give us real life by which we are free from death. So we shouldn't think that Srila Prabhupada is dead. It's not that he's dead. He came to give us the kind of life which continues after death. One life is finished, and then you go to another life. Not that the jivatma is eternally living, jiva. So it's not that life, but our actually ends, but our conception of life, that I am this body, I am black, I'm white, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm male, I'm female. All these conceptions, designations, they vanish with the body, and then we start another life. But the great devotees, they don't live with in these designations, and they teach us to live beyond these designations. Sarvo padi vinir muktam tat parat vena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. They teach us to go beyond designations, to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, using the senses of this designated body, temporary body, in the service of the master of the senses, and in this way spiritualize the body so that we become qualified to get a completely spiritual body, to act on the eternal platform even while we are living in this world. So Srila Prabhupada, he came to teach us this. He gave us life. He gave us the life of serving his mission, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which was revealed by Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Generally, this verse is understood to mean that Rupa Goswami, pursuant to the practically the essence of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is Rupa Goswami reveals, and then later Krishnas Kaviraj expands it into the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa Goswami reveals the inner heart's feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha, pining for Krishna after he has left Vrindavan and wanting to bring him back to Vrindavan. So we offer respect to Rupa Goswami as the one who has established the feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within this world. Srila Prabhupada, pursuant to the explanation of his own guru, explained this in a different way, that the inner feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy names, will be spread all over the world. Priti vite ache jato nagaradi gram savatra prachau ibe moranam. So Srila Prabhupada came to fulfill that mission of spreading the chanting of the holy names of the all over the world. The chanting of the holy names, Rupa Goswami has expressed in his poetry his feelings for the holy names. I need a crore of mouths and a crore of pairs of ears to hear. There's so much nectar. I mean, there's a flood of nectar. How much can you drink? You drink through the ears. I don't have enough. There's one reason to get a job as Lord Brahma. You have enough ears to hear the holy name. You have more heads the better, Rupa Goswami is asking for. So this nectar, Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Rupa Goswami came to spread the chanting, and then with the chanting, the full nectar of Krishna consciousness. So this is the life that Srila Prabhupada gave. He gave us, and significantly, he picked up most of those who came to Srila Prabhupada came in their youth, and then Srila Prabhupada left. We were still young. So he gave us a whole life in his service to contribute our might to serving his mission, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So in everything that we do in our life and collectively as a movement, as ISKCON, ISKCON is the vehicle that's set up by Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his mission. We should always think, is this what Srila Prabhupada wanted? If we always think like that, am I doing what Srila Prabhupada wanted? Then we'll always be safe if we do what he wants. Just like now, If I'm thinking how I can all please you and make you feel happy and maybe get a few laughs and maybe get a few thumbs up on, what is it, YouTube? It likes. Okay, that's my job done. That's great. But no, if I'm thinking like that, then I'm not living with Srila Prabhupada. I'm living with my own foolish egoism and desires. I should be thinking, am I serving Srila Prabhupada? If I'm not, if I have any other motivation, then I'm not serving Srila Prabhupada. Maybe indirectly, or 20% or 30%. I'm serving Prabhupada, but I also need a little encouragement for my ego. So I'm 50% serving my ego, but it's 50% serving Srila Prabhupada. Then we're not properly serving. At the present time, where we're talking about ISKCON, our service to Srila Prabhupada is through the medium of this ISKCON movement. So part of our service, a major part of our service, is so that we ourselves and others also can properly serve Srila Prabhupada and properly fulfill his desires, keep ISKCON on track, which means in line with the desires of Srila Prabhupada. And it's always a struggle, because that's the way the material world is. Whenever any religious teacher comes, then inevitably, after his departure from this world, his followers, or his purported followers, they alter his teachings and his mission. So we always have to watch out for that. At the present time, there's a lot of churning going on in the ISKCON movement. Just like the churning of the milk ocean. What came out first? Came out poison. Very dangerous poison. So at the present time, we see that certain persons are interpreting the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, screwing out some meaning to fit their preconception of what it means to serve Srila Prabhupada. For instance, one prominent thing at the time is Srila Prabhupada very clearly states within his books that Suniti could not become the initiating guru of Dhruva because she was a woman, and specifically his mother. So then, you don't like that, right? If you don't like that, if you think, that was in Satya Yoga, it doesn't apply now, or that what Srila Prabhupada said is descriptive, not prescriptive. In other words, somehow or other, try to avoid the clear instruction. So this is very dangerous. And then anything we don't like in Prabhupada's books, and then we just deconstruct it. There's a whole literary movement, or a method of literary interpretation called deconstructionism, in which you don't bother this is in the secular world, it shouldn't be in the spiritual world. You don't bother what the author said, or try to understand what he said, but you just try to, whatever you feel or whatever you think it should mean, then that becomes the meaning. So this is poisonous when applied to the teachings of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So first comes the poison. And so many things came out. Everyone got what they wanted, more or less. The demigods, they wanted the nectar, and the demons got Varuni, the wine, they got, the demons got what they wanted also. So they, everyone gets what they want. But ultimately, we have to see what the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants us to take. This whole churning of the ocean went on under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had a purpose in this. So we should try to understand what is the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is his purpose in sending Srila Prabhupada? Why did he came to give these same teachings that Krishna himself came to give. Or specifically Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahavadanya Avatar, same thing. How did he give that? Principally through his books. Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. So we want to that people will read these books. We ourselves should read the books. But how should we read? If we read like the scholars, they'll say, yeah, Rupa Goswami was born in such and such. Prabhupada was born in 1896 and he died. That's how they read it. We read it through our preconceptions. And we won't understand. But we want that the people of the world will read Srila Prabhupada's books. That's what's going to make the difference. It's not our books or the number of YouTube hits we get or the YouTube views or people laugh when we talk or we get featured on some TV program. That's not going to make the difference in the world. The great difference is going to come through propagation of Srila Prabhupada's books and the teachings that he gave without changing them. I started this talk by saying that the people of the world, in the Western world, in India also, they haven't understood the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. If they read his books, then they should start to understand. If someone's actually a Christian, if they actually want to know God and love God, and they read Srila Prabhupada's books, they'll understand that this is first-class theology. If someone is actually looking for the truth, if they're actually looking for the message of the Vedas, then we may say Hindus, then they should, if they read Prabhupada's books, they can understand. Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu, this is it. Presented faithfully by Srila Prabhupada's books. So however dull or bad or misled or whatever we ourselves individually may be, or however much we may see that the whole movement seems to be heading for catastrophe, we can always distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And we'll please Prabhupada by doing so. He may say, well, books are changed. Well, they're not changed. There have been what we could call cosmetic changes made, which the message still comes through. It's still the same message. People, by reading Prabhupada's books, people's lives are transformed. If you change, for instance, that the planet of the trees to the planet of the pitris, it doesn't mean that by not reading the planet of the pitris you won't get the same effect. So this, even if you are, if you think that we should have the unchanged books and this and that, personally I think it's this whole issue is it's another trick of Maya to divert us. Definitely there should be some, not just wanton changes here and there, but it's the kind, this kind of controversy is kind of thing that comes, unedited, edited, whatever, get out there and distribute the books. That will make the difference. So that's one thing we can take away on this day. We want to live with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada lives in his books. When he was asked by a journalist once, what will happen to this woman when you die? Srila Prabhupada said, I will never die, I will live forever in my books. So we can live with Prabhupada by reading, by living according to those books, and by distributing those books. Hare Krishna. I'll stop talking now, unless anyone has any question they want to raise pertinent to this. What's the rest of the program? Bhajan's at what time? Okay. Oh, and then? Oh, so after the video is finished, there'll be more bhajans like that and chanting. Pushpanjali, then Guru Puja, and so on. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.